Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine, Essential Living Maine Magazine, and a series of book collaborations, the latest one being Essential Healing for the Spirit and Soul. And I'm really excited about this collaboration because it is a group of spiritual healers, people in the spiritual field, all of them coming from different walks of life, and each of them talking a little bit about their journey and how they came to basically, you know, choose this as a career, move into the healing field, and working with people from that level. So it's really exciting to see all of these different healing modalities and amazing practices that people have. And I'm really excited today to be talking to Ineed Martinez. She is the founder of Affluent Awareness, offering money coaching services, combining her past experience as an international private banker with effective money coaching skills. She completed an MBA in finance from Rutgers University and later attended Holis University Graduate Seminary and completed a certification from the Money Coaching Institute in California. Ineed's mission is to guide and support others through their money challenges as well as life's challenges. Her ability to see the full spectrum of a client's situation aids in getting to the root of a client's problems and allows for true solutions. She is also passionate about animals, wild and domestic, and extends her compassion and healing skills to helping them, including with transitioning during their dying process. So, Ineed, thanks so much for being with us today. Welcome.
Thank you, and I'm very grateful to be here, and I'm looking forward to this sharing this moment with you, and thank you for the opportunity once again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is my favorite thing to do, actually, is talk to all the authors, because I get to hear, and, you know, everybody who will listen to the teleconference will, you know, gets to hear about, you know, how you came to be doing what you're doing and your journey to becoming a healer and if there were any life events that prompted it. So let me ask you, how did you decide that this was what you wanted to do in life?
Actually, it wasn't a calling like many people get that they feel like doing something. I was very happy as an international private banker. But I was always also, I loved spirituality, and I always felt there was something bigger than just our bodies and our minds and hurrying around meeting goals. And so one day on a flight, on a business trip in Argentina, an inner voice said to me, get ready, this is the end of your banking years. So it wasn't like a pull to me to, I want to get in a certain direction and this is what I want to do now. It was really faith in an unknown and putting the pieces together as I went along the journey. So it wasn't very clear to me at the beginning. And I did feel the pull for spirituality, to read books on spirituality, anything that I could get my hands on. But I couldn't really understand how it fit at that time in my life because I was happy doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I resisted the calling. And then because of resistances, I got ill. And one day I decided to give up the resistance and say, okay, I give up the struggle, I give up resistance, guide me. You win. You just tell me what to do. And then that same inner voice started giving me direction, a sense of direction to start school, to go through a Holos graduate seminary for doctorate degree in theology, with concentration in energy medicine. So I went through all the academics of that and still not knowing how to put the pieces together. And this is about the journey. So this is what I was learning really was about trusting and faith in honoring that inner voice that we all have. So that's how I started going to school, and then I founded the Heart Helix, in which I was doing my intuitive skills through healing, distance healing, and then animals came into my life. I started getting phone calls out of the blues for animal healing, so I started doing that. And then that same inner voice said, okay, now you're going to integrate the money. So just when I thought I was done with the money piece, because I did leave banking, and so that's when I integrated back the money piece, and now I went to money coaching school, And then I'm putting all the skills together now, and I'm focusing more on the money coaching aspects of my skill, you know, of my business.
Mm-hmm. Which I think people will find very fascinating. We'll get into that in a second, but I just wanted to comment.
Yeah.
So I've probably done about 10 interviews so far. There's 22 authors in this particular book, and almost every single one of them has said almost the same thing that you've said, that they were kind of led to this because they had a calling, but they resisted it, or they ignored it, or they weren't sure what to do with it, and then they had some illness. And that kind of, it's like kind of the universe sort of like taps you lightly, and then if you don't pay attention, you get a harder, like a shove. Okay, this is what I need for you to wake up. And yeah, it's just amazing to hear like kind of the same story, you know, reiterated over and over again about how many people came to the healing profession because they needed to heal some type of physical thing that had actually happened to them.
Correct. And also, we have many of us have a tendency to think that spirituality and money will never meet. I mean, they're two different categories, you know, and that was at least at the beginning what I used to think. Like,
right.
Wait a minute, you know, how can you put this together and know it's either one or the other? And now it's becoming clear the importance that money plays in people's health, in people's overall well-being, in people's psyche, and how we need to shift the paradigm about money and our relationship to that energy, because it's energy, it's vibration, like everything else is. And the more we learn to do that, the better quality of life we have around money. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I'm sure people are very interested in that piece of it for sure in terms of what you do. And I think what you say is exactly right. I mean, money is just energy, and but it's the way that we look at it. Like, I think a lot of people look at it from a negative perspective. They either don't have enough, feel like they don't ever have enough money. They see money as being negative. If they have too much money, then they might be punished, or, you know, it's kind of like crazy thought processes, but lots of, you know, we all have things like that, and we all, you know.
Yes, if you really think that money is the root of all evil, if you start your life hearing that, what do you think your money experience is going to be like if you keep hearing money is the root of all evil? Okay, seriously?
Right.
It's a creation. It's creation, it's spiritual, it's great, it's an aspect of abundance. And we're all worthy and worth it to enjoy it.
Right. Yep, that's exactly true. And sometimes I hear it a lot in the spiritual arenas, I guess. A lot of people thinking like, well, you know, it's not spiritual to want a lot of money or to want to have abundance. But the way that I've always looked at it is, if you don't have certain things, then you can't bring your gifts to other people. So it takes money. It takes money to run a business, to start a business, to launch a product, or to do something that's going to bring more help out into the world. And that's the way that you look at money. It's not, wanting it is not this evil, bad, you know, greedy thing that you shouldn't have.
Correct. It's not about hoarding the money. It's about embracing the energy as a God-given energy, like everything else. It's an aspect of an ever-flowing abundance, and that actually it is spiritual to be wealthy. It is spiritual. It is part of our birthright to have, to be part of this ever-flowing abundance. Source, divine source, this ever-flowing abundance. And we are an aspect of that source, of that divine source, in human vehicle, in human body. And we have everything that ever river of divinity, of love, is in our bodies, it's in our psyche, it's in our mind. And that abundance is also in ourselves. And money is an aspect of that. It is a gift. It is our birthright to enjoy it, to invest in things that we love, to share it, to help others with. There's so many things that we can do with this energy. And to have any type of preconceived ideas or belief systems against it or judgment against it actually hampers with our own right to enjoy it and to fulfill our highest potential, including this money to make it work.
Right. Yeah. So I do a lot of coaching for business owners, small business owners, and most of them are in the holistic field, because many of them come to me because I, you know, of my magazine, they're either advertisers of mine or sometimes it's people that have started a business and they don't have a lot of money to advertise. So I've tried to help them by doing some, you know, business coaching to help them market themselves to obviously generate more income. And a lot of times the questions that I get are, you know, how do I feel like I have a positive outlook about money, but for some reason I can never seem to get ahead. I always, you know, I'll get a few clients, I'll start generating some revenue, and then, you know, I'll get like this unexpected bill will come and I'll have to pay it. And whatever I've worked hard to do is kind of out the window now. And I mean, I'm just curious, like, what your advice or tips that you would give to a client like that, because for me, it's I struggle with it because that's not really my expertise in terms of, I think it's a little bit of a mindset thing, but I'm sure that you have tips of what you would say, what you would teach.
Yes, well, in the money coaching process, the money coaching process is a four-week process. The core process is 4 weeks. And what we do is it starts with a money biography. So we look at belief patterns since childhood around money and the person's experience around money since childhood. And also we do another exercise the second week, which is like the mother-father mirror. So it really helps people to say, wait a minute, how do I truly feel and think about money? What did I learn as a child about money? And just they just have to think about an incident in their life that really triggered something in them. And then it says, well, what did I hear also my parents talk about money? You know, how did I grow up around that energy? And because, believe it or not, those conversations from other people, from your environment as you grow up, those are embedded in your subconscious.
Yep.
And we, as children, we derive our own coping mechanism. So either we mirror a parent, host a parent, or we try to do the polar opposite of a parent's behavior. And extreme, so we go to the other extreme. If a parent was, they never learned how to save money, for example, and never had a dime because it was always spending it, the child might say, you know, I'll never do that. I'm going to save my money. I'm going to be like, and then what it does, it becomes so frugal to the other extreme that the person may have money but may not want to spend it or enjoy it or minimize the enjoyment of it because of fear of spending it. So either we create reactive patterns, and we also create empowering patterns of behavior around money as we grow up. So it's about exploring, and it's a self-discovery process around the energy. And then the third week, we look at the money archetypes. What are your subconscious programs? What's the collective? What are you doing? Are you doing a martyr archetype? Are you being the warrior? Are you being the innocent who needs to learn more skills about money? So all these archetypes are playing also, and which ones are active in your life right now, especially during a loss, a transition, whether you lose a job or a spouse, that triggers the survival mechanisms in the brain. And an archetype, for example, the innocent might get really afraid because it doesn't know what to do. So we look at all the things, and then we look at the skills. We look at your skills. We look at all the gifts and talents and positive character traits that you bring to this world. And then we put it all together and we set a strategy of what do you want to change? What two patterns of behavior or what two patterns of beliefs do you want to change and to what? How do you want to feel and think moving forward? And then we develop a strategy to actually do it. We do a lot of energy work, but we also do practical steps, tools that the person can put into action. It's an action plan. It's a strategy that can get from point A to point B. And that's just a core process, which is about 1 month with work with the client. But really, the passion of learning what triggers you, whose voice is it? Is it your mom's? Is it your dad's? Is it your own voice? Was that your own conclusion? And how empowering is it? Is it reactive? Are you reacting to something? Or is it more empowering? Is it a more positive-driven type of choice that you're making? So it's just very interesting how people come to draw their own conclusions about money. And then when there's a life change, and this is why I speak about change, that is uncomfortable, it may trigger those behaviors that may have been present, but they were not really aware of. And that's when the fears come up, and that's when the insecurities come up. But that's just beliefs, and beliefs can be changed.
Right.
You've done nothing wrong. They've done nothing wrong. There's nothing to fix. So we look at, okay, let's move forward. Because the past is the past. Now we're going to change. What do you want to experience? Where do you want to go? And then let's look forward. And let's start shifting our attitudes, correcting that. But no one has done anything wrong. It's just the way they've learned it. And we're just changing. It's like you took a math class and they taught you how to act, but they didn't act correctly. They go, oh,
right.
No, this is how Julie acts. You know, they probably told you 1 + 2 = 4, and then you go, no, it's 2 + 2 = 4.
Right.
And you go, oh, so, yes, exactly. So let's go for what's more empowering, where is more truth, where there is a higher potential for you to move to it, what do you want, and anything is possible. But yes, there is that conscious choice based on that awareness, oh, this is where I want to be. This is, and I am capable and worthy of being in that place without any guilt and without thinking that there's a problem with money and that money destroys people. Money never destroys people. Money is just neutral energy. It's neutral.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's all the way that people think about it and
exactly.
How they use that energy. Yep.
Exactly. So it moves towards you or away from you according to how you feel and think about it. But how you feel and think about it can change.
Right. And almost you should be using it as a biofeedback. But as you said that, it moves towards you or away from you. What
yes.
popped into my head was, wow, that's instant feedback. How am I thinking or feeling about money? You don't even have to really ask yourself the question. You just have to look at what's going on in your life.
Yes. I would ask anyone right now is if money was your lover, and this is a present tense question, if money was your lover, describe your relationship with it now.
Great question.
I remember a lady saying, well, she just wrote her whole paragraph, and she says, I just had an argument with it. Because it's like a husband that gets late, comes in late, and where have you been, and comes and goes, and I can't, it's uncomfortable. It just comes and goes, it pleases. It's sometimes late. It doesn't give me any reasons why it's late. She's really like reading her whole experience with her lover.
Mm-hmm.
With money as her lover. And she says, and I can't count on it. It's unreliable. And I go, okay. So if you really think and feel that it's unreliable, you can't count with it, it comes and goes that it pleases, it comes late, how do you think what's your life experience right now with money? And she says, well, I'm trying to keep it as possible, save as much as I can, because I don't know if it's going to be here tomorrow, because it's unreliable.
Right.
And I said, okay, so let's correct that. Let's shift that thought pattern, because it's a thought pattern, and it's not necessarily true. It can be true for you now, but it doesn't have to be truth.
Exactly. Yep. That's great. That's a great question, too. I love that question to ask people. You know,
mm-hmm.
if money was your lover, what would you say to it right now, or how do you feel about it right now?
Yes. What's the relationship like?
Right. Exactly. So, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what kinds of things you've done to make yourself stand apart and build a successful practice, and what advice would you have for someone who's thinking about becoming a healer or working in the spiritual field?
Look at it as a business. You're providing a service that you love and believe in. Listen to your inner guidance, but also look at it as a business. And have a plan of action, and do have money to invest in that dream, in that calling. And listen to your inner guidance on how to connect with the right people to provide the resources that you need to start your business. I mean, there's a program called SCORE, SCORE.org, that helps people for free most of the
mm-hmm.
time, and it just helps them how to set up a marketing plan and a business plan, and you really need to look into that. But following also their inner guidance, because if they think, okay, this is what I'm needing, these are the pieces, the calling, the same voice that gave you the calling is the same voice that's going to give you the results, and it's going to guide you to the right people and the right resources for you to, you know, to do the business. And it takes courage, and it takes commitment to oneself, and literally put the martyr archetype on hold. And the martyr archetype is the one that puts everybody else's needs above your own. You need to take care of yourself as a person first and foremost, so that you can be 100% present and available for others. Compassion to yourself first. Feed yourself first, your spirit, but make sure that you're taken care of first and foremost, so that you can be there for others.
Yep, that's great advice. It's just like what they tell you to do when you're on the airplane and you're listening to the safety message,
yes.
Right? You've got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first.
Yes, it is exactly that. Because sometimes the people who are pulled or called to do this type of service are by nature, they're givers. And,
mm-hmm.
and they love caring for others, and they love helping others. That's what drives them. But sometimes in that drive, they forget to play, they forget to have fun, they forget to take care of themselves first, they forget that they have a business. And so these are the things that they should kind of be aware of, that there is a practicality to their steps. There is we're in a three-dimensional world, and also in the spiritual world, so we have the non-physical and the physical blending. They're blending. They're not separated. They're merging. They're integrating. So let's use our intuition and that inner guidance as our connection to the non-physical, to source, divine source within us, to guide us in the right direction. Because one we show up and while taking care of ourselves, peaches will just fall into place. If we're just in alignment with our inner voice and we follow it, things are much smoother. There's less struggle, less steps to take. Why? Because you follow the guidance and you took care of yourself. And first and foremost, also, you saw it as a business.
Yep, that is great advice. Absolutely, for sure. So before we finish today, I just want to make sure that we had an opportunity to talk a little bit about if you have any events coming up or any kinds of programs or things that you want to tell people about, and also how people can connect with you, you know, through your website or email.
Okay, they are welcome to go to affluentawareness.com. There is a money type quiz for free that they can take. And I can give them a free, like, 20-minute feedback on the results of the money type quiz. That's for one thing. I'm also, my phone number, my office number is 973-762-6814. You can reach me at that. And my email address is anit@affluentawareness.com.
And that's
also,
I just want to spell your email. It's ENID@affluentawareness.com, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Another email that they can get me at is anitaffluentawareness@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
And also, I do money circles, so if people prefer to work like in a group of four, money circles are really good because they learn from each other, so that's fun. I'm teaching at Mystical World on October 8th, a class on emotions and money and the limbic brain, the three brains and money, what has relationship to it. And I'm in the middle of writing, producing a manual that will be ready in the fall, early September. And it's called My Little Money Pocketbook, and it's for women. And it's really fun. It has techniques. It has visualization techniques that women can do to actually help themselves, either ask for a raise, you know, that for different things related to money. It's about overcoming certain fears or, you know, certain restrictions around money. So that's a big, it's fun. It's a fun book.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure. Many of us would love to read that.
Yes, it has seven pieces and it's really fun and lighthearted. And it's dedicated to all women with much love because it has been instrumental in my life, and they've been strong women and pioneers, and so yeah, it's dedicated to the women this time around.
That is great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Like we said earlier, this is a fascinating topic. I'm sure that many people are interested in learning more and excited to read your chapter and learn about what they can do to help have themselves have a better relationship with money. And, yeah, thanks so much for your time. And we look forward to the book coming out. Projected date is sometime this fall. We'll keep everybody posted on that. And hope everybody has a great day.
Thank you so much, Diane. Many blessings to all and to you for this opportunity. And I am forever grateful. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.